or how many series this is going. The big subject is we want to learn about the harvest. We want to know about sowing and reaping. We want to know what how the principles and the absolute, there's spiritual laws when it comes to sowing and reaping. And we want to unveil them. We want to have our eyes open to them, and we need to learn. So we've been sowing seed into your life for a number of weeks just on this subject. So if you hear something today that you're like, well, I don't know about that, don't let that scare you. Just go, okay, Lord, teach me. Teach me. I'm learning something, and please help me with this. I'm learning that if we go into the presence of God and we're hearing the voice of God, as we're praying and we're seeking the Lord, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, all of you, that's what we're doing right now. Okay? Can we agree on that? That we're all here. And so let's go one step farther. We're here to learn. Okay? Are you here to learn? Are you here to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to each one of us? I don't need you to hear, like, I'm here, and guess what? Right now, at this moment, the Holy Spirit is not going to speak to my good wife. Not about what I'm about to say. She's going to have to go and hear it later because she's down the hall hearing from God speaking into our children's lives. Does that make sense? So even as the word comes out of me, I don't need to go, man, I wish Heather was here to hear that. Heather needs to hear that. No, I need to hear it. I need to hear it, okay? And if I'm speaking the word of God and you're hearing from God, okay? So if I'm speaking God's word and you're hearing God, do y'all understand you can hear God? You should hear God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That is John 10:27. John 10:20 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Believe it or not, the most exciting thing that we can be going on in our life right now is us learning to hear God. Because that's really what it's all about. Hearing him, walking with him, knowing him. And as we hear him, we know him. His desire is that we would know him. And we would hear his voice, and we would follow him. And as we walk with him, our lives can be transformed. It changes what we hear. It changes what we say because we align with that. So right now, as we're listening to the word of God, now, how many of y'all know I might misinterpret? I might misspeak, okay? I might not even know it all. Did you hear me? I might not know everything about God's word. Does that make sense? But that's not going to keep me from speaking God's word. Because if I had to wait until I know it all, I wouldn't be here anymore. Does that make sense? And once I know it all, he's done and I'm gone. That's what Paul the Apostle said. My work is done. I've run my race. I finished my course. So if I actually knew it all, I would no longer be here with you. There's evidence that I don't know it all. Plus, nobody likes to know it all. So that's easy too. So, but here's the challenge. As we're hearing the word of God, okay, I want us to learn how to hear the word of God. Hear it from inside. See, Christ lives in us. The anointing of God is in us. The Spirit of the living God is in us. We are one with him. And he told his disciples in John 14 and again in John 16, when I go away, I will send you the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide you into all truth. Do you believe the Holy Spirit lives in you? Then he's here to lead and guide you into all truth. So if I say something that is off track, listen to me. If I say something that's off track, Christ in you should speak to you the on track. He is not going to accuse me. He's going to correct you. Does that make sense? See, he's not going to uncover me. No. I can prove it. Did anybody but Moses and Aaron know that Moses wasn't going into the promised land? Until it was written down, none of them knew. All of them did not know. God told Moses, because of your disobedience, you're not going in. But he never told the people. He actually gave them the water that they were after. And he covered Moses. So he didn't even tell the people. And this was bigger, way bigger than me misspeaking a scripture. Does it make sense? See, Moses disobeyed God. And we can read about how he disobeyed God. But the people right there on the scene, they had no idea that he disobeyed God. So when you hear the word, if I'm giving you the word, I'm speaking the word of God, and you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, and I misspeak, you should hear the correction. You won't hear, I don't believe that. You won't hear, that's not God's word. That's the accuser of the brethren. Does that make sense? What happened in the garden? Did God say? That was the first thing. Did God say? So as I'm giving you the word of God, listen from Christ in you to confirm. Christ in you should be, yep, there it is. That's what I said. Yep, there's more. Yep, there's more. See, because the Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us into all truth. Am I making sense? So if you hear any other voice, you need to go, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into all truth. The accuser of the brethren is going to try to distract you and take you away from hearing. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So the most important thing that we could do right now in this time, in this moment, is hear the voice of God. Hear what Christ is saying to us. Because he's the one that's leading and guiding our lives. Amen? So right now, man, that wasn't in my notes. Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 through 10. We're going to look at this is our main part of the main scripture that we're learning about sowing and reaping. And our overall is we're learning the law of sowing and reaping. And today we want to look more closely at, do we believe that our words are seeds? And what do we believe about the word of God that we speak? What do we believe about the words we speak? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, I believe it is, says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Next verse, please. For he who sows to the flesh, of the flesh he will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Next verse. Therefore, this is why we don't want to stop at the other. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all that we like. Oh, that's the clueless version. It says, let us do good to all. See, the Holy Spirit right there should have went, excuse me? Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen? So this is what we're learning, that what we sow. Let me show you a similar passage that proves sowing and reaping, and the law of sowing and reaping is not over. Go with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter, let me remind you, anything, if you can't find it in the first probably 10 chapters of Genesis, you might be in the weeds. Everything's covered in Genesis. I could say the whole book of Genesis, but I'm going to say most of it you can find in the first 10, maybe 12 chapters of Genesis. If you can't find it in Genesis, you might be off in the weeds. You need to bring it in or disregard it. Is that making sense? Just to help us learn and help us grow. So Genesis chapter 8, let's look at verse 20. Genesis 8:20, and this is news, so write that scripture down. I haven't shared this with you yet. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Now, this is just free. I want to plant this in your heart. Noah obeyed what the Spirit of God was leading him to do. And it says here, verse 21, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Okay. Let it go down. You'll learn. Then the Lord said in his heart. Ooh. Now, notice the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then the Lord responded. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy everything as I have done. Verse 22, while the earth remains, now this is what we need to look at here, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So no matter what the 6 o'clock news says, we have a promise. And while the earth remains, verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's a promise. This promise was given to us pre the law, before the law. Okay? If you read on here in chapter 8, you read the word covenant multiple times. Can you put that back in the New King James? I don't know what happened there, but we want most of these scriptures in the New King James. So my apologies if that didn't read the same as I was reading. Pardon me, we did have some technical difficulties this morning on that thing. No matter what man says, God's word says that the seed time and harvest will remain. Galatians chapter 6, I just showed you, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So we're learning that the things that we sow, we're going to reap. We learned in the past, you could go back and catch them, that our actions, our words, and God's word is seed. We're learning right now that our words are seed. They're important. Do we believe what we say has power of either life or death? So when we really begin to understand this, we'll begin to choose more wisely our words. And we'll have our words work for us instead of against us. And I don't want to repeat last week's message, so we're going to build from where we left off. And those of you who weren't here last week, I admonish you, I encourage you, go back and listen to last week's. It was just totally about our words being seed. Now, we're going to build on that. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, very familiar passage to all. Romans 10, 8. Great, thank you. We're back in the New King James Version. That's going to help us all out. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is there anybody who's questioned that? See, we see this, we hear it, and we believed it. And I'm going to fairly say that most of us have made a decision based on this scripture. You heard the word, and you believed in your heart, and you confessed it. And it says right there that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Look at the next verse. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see it? Okay, let me read it again. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, this, we all believe this, and we all have responded to this in some fashion, but how far now, what do we do with that? How far do we allow what we believe and what we say? Now, go to a maybe not as familiar passage, but it's been written down for a long time. And how many of y'all know that it wasn't truth when it was written down? It was truth when God said it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when God said it, that settled it. Does that make sense? Okay? Just because man took a couple thousand years to write it down doesn't mean that's when it became truth. That's going to land on some other things. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verse 6 together. Colossians 2, 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, with thanksgiving. We're admonished here in two short verses that as we therefore have received, how did you receive? How did you receive your salvation? How did you receive this new life? You heard, you believed, you confessed. You heard the Word of God, you believed the Word of God, and you confessed the Word of God. Here he's telling us, the same writer, Paul writes in Colossians, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, in what? In the faith, with thanksgiving. So what will we hear right now? What will we hear in this setting? What will you hear from Christ in you as I speak the Word of God, as I declare to you the Word of God? I want to go back to a scripture that we used last week, and I purposely did not dive in. I just turned the soil a little bit in your heart and planted a word. If you went and allowed the Holy Spirit who lives in you to water this word, I can assure you of one thing at least. If you went and let the Holy Spirit water the word, if you meditated on the word that I'm about to share again, now I'm watering it. But if you already watered it, I can expect, and you should expect, increase. Now, maybe you don't get the full understanding. I led with, I don't know it all. Remember, if I don't know it all, guess what? If I don't know it all, you don't know it all, right? Okay? So this is we're all understanding here. So right now, can you believe God to understand more? Can you believe God to hear and get revelation on what God's Word says? Remember, I'm not here to talk you into anything. If I can talk you in, somebody else can talk you out. But if you'll hear it from within, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And I'm not talking about just getting born again, again, again. I'm talking about your life walking with God. I'm talking about you entering into the promised land. I'm talking about us living in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about us we've been transformed, and we've been translated into the kingdom of God. If you've been born again, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. And I'm gonna attempt to read it and not stop. How many of y'all can believe with me? I'm going to read the passage, and you just hear from the Holy Spirit. Listen up. Then he said to them, Mark 4, 24. Then he said to them, take heed to how you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, that's a shakening word. It matters how you hear. It matters how you listen. If your heart and mind is somewhere else than right here, you're going to miss what God has to say to us. If you're watching, but yet you're really, you're watching and say you're listening, but you're going down the road and you're really looking at that traffic, well, you might need to just pull over or just pause for a minute because you need to be watching the traffic if you're driving. But right here it says, take heed to what you hear, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. What measure will you use to hear the word of God? Now, we've illustrated this in times past. I brought a spoon in to feed you. Or I can get a big serving, what is it, label? Label? That's what I said. Or you can go get a shovel. Or years ago, I actually had a brother in the Lord bring a backhoe to church and park it in front of the building to illustrate. How many of y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? I had a backhoe. I had a brother in the Lord bring a backhoe and park it in front of the building as an illustration of what did you come to scoop the word of God and receive. Because whatever you measure, whatever you use to hear the word, it will be given unto you. So if you don't really want to hear right now, you're not going to get it. But if you're willing to go, yes, Lord, I want to hear you, what you got to say. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me your will. I probably don't know it all. See, I helped us. Amen? All right, so let's keep reading now. Let's go to our main passage, Mark chapter 11. And this is the one I think I misspoke a while ago. I read this to you last week. I didn't read Mark 4. Mark 11, we looked at this last week. Mark 11, verse 20. This is the one that was sowed. The previous one is new sowing. Chapter 11, verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I did good. I did not stop and comment. You're welcome. So now let's do something that I taught you a while back. We're going to go to the other passage where this same incident is given to us. So go to Matthew chapter 21. And many of you may not realize that Mark chapter 11 and Matthew 21 are the same story, just given at a different angle. Mark says it one way. Now we're going to look and see how the Holy Spirit told Matthew to say this, the very same thing. This is how we learn. Could you get me a bottle of water, please? This is how we learn. Thank you. Oh, they've got it. This is how we learn to take what God's word says and see it. Because let me help you. The word is correct. The rest of us are the other. Does that make sense? Remember I told you? The word is correct. Everything else is something else. Amen? All right. So Matthew chapter 21, let's look at verse 18. I'm going to try to read it all and not stop. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Verse 19. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree was withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said unto them, I am Jesus and I can do this while I'm on the earth, but you cannot do it. Oh no, he didn't say that, did he? But this would have been a really good place to say that, if that's what he needed to say. Y'all missed it. I've heard this from preachers. I've heard preachers say it this way, the way I just read it to you. I've heard preachers stand in a pulpit and misquote this verse, because they read it and they got to that part, and Jesus answered in them and said, I'm Jesus, I can do this while I'm on the earth, but don't you try to do this. This would have been a place for Jesus to say it if that's what he meant. But what did he say? Look at it. Let me read it to you for reals. Assuredly, I say to you. Is that what it says? Assuredly, for sure, if you were brought up in the 80s. For sure. Old King James, truly, truly, I say unto you. All right? Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I can see this is new to many of you. I think some of us have heard this the other way. So this is where you have to decide. What does God's word say? And what am I going to believe? And what am I going to confess? See, if you go, hold your finger there, and we're going to come back, but we're going to flip back and forth between the two. So Mark 11 says, he says, verse 22 says, and so Jesus answered and said unto them. Now I'm going to read it to you what it says, not what some of us have heard. All right? Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, look at this, that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now this should arrest us. That if we'll understand Jesus, this would have been a good time for Jesus to say, look, I'm Jesus. I'm walking around in an earth suit, and I can do some special things. But as soon as I leave, all of that is over. Or he could have said, like I've heard, listen, I'm Jesus, and I'm going to have my 12 apostles, and I'm going to let them cast out some demons. I'm going to let them speak with new tongues. I'm going to let them lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. But as soon as they're done, when they leave their earth suit, that's finished. I'll have a different work going on. He didn't say any of that. But this would have been a place to say it if that's what needed to be said. We should rejoice that it wasn't said. We should rejoice at what he did say and believe in our heart and begin to say what he said. He tells us here, have faith in God. Other translations put, have the God kind of faith. Okay, that's fine. It's the same. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. See, there's the challenge. We say something, but we doubt in our heart. We're not 100% sure. We're not positive. No, God has said, therefore I can say. Is that the disconnect? See, that's the disconnect. He says, but believes, he does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. So do we believe that the things we say will be done? Do we? Do we believe that our words, that as children of God, that we have authority on the earth, we were told to rule and reign, we are told to humble ourselves, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We were told to resist the devil. We were never told, come to me, ask me to resist the devil for you, and I'll run him away. We were never told that. But we have people, that's what they think, and therefore they do that. But it doesn't work. God gave us the authority. It's his power, our responsibility. And when we begin to understand our words matter. Our words are either life or death. And if we're speaking what God's word says, it's life. But if we're speaking from our emotions, if we're speaking from our fears, if we're speaking from our doubt and our unbelief, that's going to bring death. It's going to bring death to something. Thank you, brother. And he is blessed because he offered a drink of water. That's Bible. Look it up. Not right now. Let's go back to Matthew 21, because it's amazing how much difference there is, and yet it's the very same thing. Now in the morning, as he, that's Jesus, returned to the city, he was hungry. And he's seeing a fig tree by the road, he came and found nothing on it but leaves. You can study this out, but I'm under the understanding that if there were leaves on the fig tree, there was also supposed to be fruit. That's how that process worked in that area. That if there were fig leaves, there had to be figs. Now, I didn't study it out. I'm just going by this says that he came and he saw only leaves and he was expecting fruit and therefore he cursed it. Jesus looked at it and came to it and found nothing, and Jesus said to it. So he spoke to a tree, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Jesus knew that the words that were about to come out of his mouth were straight from the Father. John 5:19 says, I didn't say anything that I didn't hear my Father say. I don't do anything without my Father. Aren't we kind of told the same thing? Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. That's John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm never going to leave you, so you really don't have that problem. But we got to believe in our heart. And there are some things that we need to start saying. We need to start declaring. We need to start declaring who God is, what God is doing. We need to declare what God's word says. See, I can't say it if God's word doesn't say it. But when I know what God's word says and I know what he tells me to do and what he tells me to say, then I can say it. And I believe that my words are powerful. My words, what I say, will happen. Okay. Let it sink in. Let me give you an illustration of a group of people. We often call them the first church in the wilderness. A group of people who heard the word of God. They believed the word of God, but only for a short time. Kind of like what we read about in Mark a couple of weeks ago. They heard the word. They received it with joy. But when persecution came, or they didn't have roots. We looked at that. They didn't have roots. So when the trials came for the word's sake, the word did not produce fruit. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, this was God's plan. Okay, I want to show you God's plan. I'm going to read it quickly. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing of milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all the Pharisees. There's a whole bunch of ites in there. So how many of y'all see that this was God's plan? I know the plans I have for you. You making the connection? See, God had a plan for a group of people who had spent 400 years, their generation after generation after generation, they knew one thing, we're slaves. I was born in sin, but I've been delivered from sin. Okay? Go to Isaiah chapter 1, right out the gate of Isaiah. Look at verse 18. Familiar verse in 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, look at this part, they shall be white as snow. Are we there yet? Have you believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth? Have you been born again? Then your sins are white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. So we're all on the same page. Everybody believe this part, right? We're all here together. We know what God's word says. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. He said it here. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's keep reading. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Notice what it doesn't say. If you just wait, I'll work it all out. Doesn't say that. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel. See, he wasn't even done with if you're willing and obedient. The opposite of that is if you refuse and rebel. Well, what are you refusing to do? If you're willing and obedient, or if you refuse and rebel. There's only two lanes. Narrow, wide. Narrow or wide. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is. And it's God's word. It's God's word. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. John chapter 3, the whole chapter, John 3, we all know what 16 and 17 says. Some of us have learned what 18 and 19 have said. But if you go back to the beginning of John 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. And then he said, if you're not born again, you will not hear. No, I think he said it the other way. You won't hear, and then you won't enter in. That's it. Go back and look at it. John 3, study it out. We don't have time this morning. Time has got away. You can look at John 3. It starts in the beginning and he says, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? He says, you got to be born again. And then he asks, well, what does that mean? You got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Whatsoever is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. See, the kingdom of God is our promised land. If we'll begin to really understand, we can look at all the promises, all the things going on in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges. And if we begin to see these are things set before us to learn from them, we don't have to make the same mistakes. We can learn that, wait a minute, God has got a promised land for us. God desires that our lives are not only just prosperous, but that we represent Jesus. See, nobody has a problem with that until I say, you know, Jesus walked everywhere, so now you don't need a car. We're like, wait a minute. We live in this city. Well, Jesus never had air conditioning. Jesus never had padded chairs. Jesus didn't even have indoor bathrooms. Where are you going to draw your line? See, God is with us. And God said, I'm going to take you out of this land and I'm going to take you into a promised land. He said, I'm going to take you out of this land and I'm going to take you into a promised land and I will provide all that you have need of. But you do have to believe it and you have to receive it. He never forces it upon you. He didn't force the children of Israel. This is why the first generation never went in. Why did they not go in? They didn't go in because the giants were too big. I know that's what preachers have told you. They didn't go in because the giants were too big. They didn't go in because there were thorns in the land. They didn't go in because of a lot of things that we... No, they didn't go in because of their unbelief. That's what the Word of God says. They did not believe and they did not receive the promised land. They did not believe that God was able. God said, I will give you this land. You need to go in and wipe out everything in there. See, if we had time, and thank you, Jesus, I'm almost out of time. Because 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6 say very similar passages. But I just want you to write it down and you can go look at it. You can let the Holy Spirit show you some things. In chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6. Very familiar passages. It's almost like he wrote the same thing twice. You got to read them both so that you get the differences and you see what he's saying to the church. But in both he says, come out from amongst them and be separate. Come out from the world and be separate. And there's a reason that we should not look like the world. There's a reason we should not be acting like the world. If we look and act like the world, then we're too much like them. There should be a difference in our speech, in our attitude, in our responsibilities. See, because we know this in our brains, and sometimes we don't like it, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Does that make sense? And that circles all the way back around to, do we believe that what we say we will have? See, if I kept it simple and we talked about our children who aren't in the room, or if I talked about the children of Israel because they did it all wrong, it doesn't hurt as much. But when you read it in 1 Corinthians 6, it might hurt. It might cut away. Because he's going to show you some things that we should not even be named among us. The world, when they see us, they shouldn't scratch their head and wonder, I wonder if he's a believer. No, they should see our lives and go, oh, watch out. That's one of them. That's one of them. That's one of them crazy believers. They believe God way too much. Is there, what? Show me that scripture. That's definitely from the accuser of the brethren. That goes back to, did God say? Did God really say that he would meet all of your needs? Yes, he did. Did he say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church? Yes, he did. And how many of y'all know, Heather's not in the room, so I'll just go ahead and admit it. I'm still not arrived. But guess what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if I can stop and hear what Christ in me is saying and believe and confess that, I'm one step closer to fulfilling what God has called me to do. And that is to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Now, I'm only picking on the men right there. But all you ladies know what the other side of that coin is. Yeah, but now think about it. That S word, it's called submit. But how are we as the bride of Christ, his wife? We're supposed to submit to him. We're supposed to love him. We're supposed to follow him. Did you learn anything? Can you go back? Let me give you one more passage. Mark chapter 1. We're gonna get somebody to help her with that. Now, just mark this down. I'll read it to you. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's important that we see this, okay? And saying, so Jesus came to Galilee, and he's preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God. You need to see all that together, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That means turn from what you're doing and believe in the gospel. Jesus said this to the first generation. This was his message to the Jews first. Then he let Paul take it to the Gentiles. Why would he have to tell that first generation, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Repent and believe in the gospel. I admonish you, go back and just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart about this. This is what Jesus said to the first generation. He said this to his disciples. Just because we have it said once doesn't mean he didn't say it more than once. This is just summarized here for us. This is quick out of the gate. After the wilderness, this is one of the first things that he said. The other passage where this is very similar situation, or the same situation said differently. I believe it's in Mark, could be in John. Don't hold me to that because I didn't look it up for this class. This happens right after he comes from the wilderness and he goes into the temple and says it to everybody in the temple. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Now see, we're way out here and we go, well, yeah, of course. Repent, you bunch of... I need to repent from believing in the old system. I need to repent from living under the law. I need to repent from staying away from the presence of God. And I need to believe in the good news. The good news. I need to not believe in the bad news. I need to believe in the good news. Amen? Let's all stand. I want to pray with you. I hope you learned something. We're not done unwrapping this. We still haven't figured out how to harvest. That's coming up. Right now, I just need you to take a look at what you're sowing. What are you sowing into your own life? What are you sowing? What are your mouths speaking? What are you saying? Because whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. And if you're hearing from God and you're saying what God's word says, you're at least in the right lane. Amen? Father, we do love you and we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit here with us. I do feel for just a second here, or just take a moment. Is there anything you need to, you don't need to wave your hand. I got my eyes closed too, so you don't need to show me. But maybe you need to repent of some things that you've been doing up until today so that you can believe in the gospel, the good news. Maybe you need to repent of some things that you've said or some attitudes you've had, some ways of living. And you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2, and begin to follow the gospel, the good news. We want to believe that our words are life. We want to believe that the words we say matter. So we want the words that come out of our mouth to be from the throne of God. We want to understand, Lord. Help us. we receive your word this morning. You said that if we will believe what we say, we shall have what we say. If we will believe that our words are, have power. But Lord, we want our words to be from you. We want to speak what you have said. Thank you for bringing adjustment into our heart, into our life. Thank you for your grace here this morning. As we learn, as we grow, we want to sow good seed, good word. We thank you as men, as married men, we thank you, Father, that you have commanded us, and therefore you have given us the faith and the grace to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Because you've asked us to do it. And you wouldn't ask us to do something and then not be with us to do it. So thank you, Father. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the love. To be obedient. Thank you, Father, that we get a chance to be willing and obedient, that we might eat the good of the land. We thank you for your word, seed into our life. We want to receive your word, and we want to believe it, and we want to confess it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Hallelujah.